In recent history, each new administration has imposed its vision on a topic that makes Americans uneasy, and the Trump administration will likely be no exception. I'm talking about sex ed in schools, pregnancy, STDs, condoms, the whole thing, with sweaty adolescents. How sex ed should be done? Do we tell them the naked facts only or serve the info with a side of morals? That has changed drastically under different presidents. And even though teen pregnancy rates are at an all-time low in the U.S. right now, they are still higher than in other developed countries. So where will the birds and bees fly next? Alana Gordon has more.
Over the ages, sex education has been an awkward conversation. Or confusing, or non-existent. All I had to do was ask a bunch of friends about their experiences growing up.
My main memory of sex ed in school is of acute embarrassment.
What I do remember are the flower babies. It was literally an inanimate bag of flour with plastic limbs that we dressed up in baby clothes.
We did learn about condoms. They used a banana to demonstrate it.
I remember the opportunity to wear the empathy belly, which is like a pregnancy suit. I was walking down the stairs in the high school and I fell down and no one helped me to get up. Awkward.
Fast forward to today. Now let's meet Tashara Morton. She's 15.
Most people that are my age and around my age, they know about sex, and it's like around you is like a lot of pressure.
Pressure to have sex. Morton first took sex ed in sixth grade and again last year. She wasn't a huge fan, but
like it was slightly informative because like the things they went into detail about what happens to your body when you get a certain STI.
What happens during puberty, contraception options. Morton has been through a couple different sex ed classes, but the big one she remembers from middle school was based on the abstinence-only approach to sex education, which really focuses on the importance of not having sex. Over the last few decades, hundreds of millions of federal dollars have gone towards this approach. It's only recently, under the Obama administration, that's been challenged. But the idea of abstinence as a primary focus in sex ed in public schools really got started back in the early 80s under this man.
Have we been teaching sex as a purely physiological function, like eating when you're hungry?
In case you didn't recognize him, that's President Ronald Reagan.
Can we completely divorce sex education, as I'm afraid we do, from any association with moral behavior?
This vision and the federal funding that went with it has continued up until this day. During George W. Bush's two terms, it went up a lot. Valerie Huber is the national director of Ascend, a group representing abstinence, or what's now called sexual risk avoidance education programs.
We want to help young people avoid the risks altogether by waiting for sex, and among those who are currently sexually active, to return to a risk-free lifestyle.
In other words, abstinence, preferably until marriage. Here's a typical video clip featuring teen interviews that might be used in the classroom.
Me and Megan were to slip up and have sex before we get married. If we slip now, then where are we going to slip in our marriage?
It's just amazing the difference of like our commitment and our love for each other, and we can still restrain from having sex until we get married, and it's going to be like the most exciting thing.
But many in the public health sector have not been on board with this approach.
They will have sex eventually.
Emmy Stoop oversees sex education programs at the Public Health Management Corporation in Philadelphia and starts with the premise that kids are going to have sex.
And we want them to do it safely, and we want them to know where to go so that they can do it safely. But by pretending that they're not going to make that choice, we become irrelevant to them.
Educators like Stoop point to the lack of scientific evidence that abstinence-only programs affect teen behavior. There's also a concern that some of these programs contain inaccurate information, like on the reliability of birth control. Katrine Stanger-Hall agrees. She's a professor of biology at the University of Georgia. She fell into studying this issue after noticing how unaware so many of her college-age students were about their own bodies. For example,
students have no idea during which part of the female cycle pregnancy is most likely. they just basically have learned in school that having sex is something bad, which kind of prevents them from making educated health decisions as well as family planning decisions.
Stanger-Hall didn't dig into specific programs, but she mapped out teen pregnancy rates in states that had increased emphasis on abstinence education. She found they also had higher teen pregnancy and birth rates.
Students that are told not to have sex, to basically engage in abstinence only without any other information, they generally are much more likely to become pregnant because specifically they don't know anything about how to protect themselves when they do it.
The Centers for Disease Control recommends schools cover 16 topics to help their students protect themselves. Those topics range from the efficacy of condoms all the way to the benefits of abstinence. But a report released just over a year ago said fewer than half of high schools and only a fifth of middle schools covered all of those topics. For example, while sexual abstinence is taught in the majority of schools, where to find and how to use condoms is often excluded from the curriculum. Bill Albert is with the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy. He says programs need to shift from ideological to evidence-based approaches.
That is, finding out through good evaluation what interventions work to change teens' behavior, not just their knowledge, not just their intentions, but their actual behavior.
In other words, it doesn't matter whether the program is abstinence or a more comprehensive approach. Under the Obama administration, he says that's been happening. The big shift happened in 2010 with the establishment of the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program. This meant tens of millions of federal dollars annually went into programs that didn't fall into that specific abstinence till marriage box. At the same time, there was an effort to reduce federal dollars for abstinence-only programs. That didn't sit well with Valerie Huber.
It has been a very disappointing time in the history of sex education over the last 8 years.
Huber is the national director of ASCEND, the group representing abstinence or sexual risk avoidance programs.
This marked the first administration, Republican or Democrat, who has sought to eliminate totally one approach to sex education. So we're hopeful for the future, and we're looking forward to taking advantage of every opportunity to help young people thrive.
While Huber is hopeful about the future under the new administration, for Emmy Stoop, who oversees comprehensive sex ed programs in Philadelphia, this is a worrying time.
We're very concerned.
Under President Obama's administration, Stoop's programs expanded and received millions of new federal dollars. That funding will be up for reauthorization.
We appear to be facing a government that is particularly unfriendly towards this kind of work or fundamentally doesn't understand this work.
Still, there's another place where this kind of work is happening, and it's without federal or state dollars, politics, or much in the way of oversight. The rise of the internet, smartphones, social media, TV shows like MTV 16 and Pregnant, and YouTube.
What is the most common STI? Let's pretend that the title of this video didn't give it away.
This is Lacey Green. She's 27.
I am a sex education activist on YouTube and the internet.
The vast majority of us will contract at least one strain of HPV. That includes you, and that includes me.
Green has a really popular sex ed show on YouTube. She got into all of this a decade ago.
I did not have access to the information that I needed as a teenager and basically took to the internet to try to disperse the information that I was finding to my peers.
She thinks as long as sex ed in schools continues to be lacking, the internet will only grow in its sway. Her posts get anywhere from 200,000 to 3 million views. And she hears from a lot of teens directly.
You know, this morning I've been emailing back some kids who are 12, 13 years old asking about puberty and what's normal for their bodies and how to deal with unwanted erections at school. Basically things where you have young adults or even kids sometimes who don't really have anyone else to ask.
And somehow they find her. Green takes it seriously, but she worries. The internet is full of all sorts of wacky stuff. It's the Wild West. She thinks the ideal space to learn about it all is, yeah, back at school.
In a safe physical space with someone that they can talk to face to face, who they trust, who's giving them medically accurate, inclusive, comprehensive information about sexuality, but that is not the reality that exists in the United States. And so we really are left with the only other viable alternative that I see is the internet, and it's not perfect.
Oh, hi, babes. We've talked about viruses before on my channel, and today I want to talk about the big one, HIV.
So given all this, what does someone like Tashara Morton, that 15-year-old we heard from earlier, make of her sex education class at school?
Did you, like, did it change or affect the way you thought about sex or being sexually active, if I can ask?
Well, it did and didn't.
Morton says her outlook stems from a combination of things. Yes, what she learned in school, plus the internet and TV. But at the end of the day, she says the biggest influence on her decisions came one day last year. Someone she knew had a pregnancy scare.
Like, it scared me as much as it scared her, because, like, what if she really was pregnant? At one point, like, I was thinking, I was like, dang, like, what if that was, like, myself? What if that was me?
For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.